Brook Forest Voices presents The Early Years, Mining and Cowboy Life in Cochise County, told by Charles Martin Davis, compiled and edited by Ruth Fugate, Charlie's oldest daughter, read by Michael Pearl and Diana Andrade.
Forward. Charlie's story is told almost entirely in his own words, gathered from different sources. Much is from tapes made on several occasions in the early 1960s by his grandson, and fortunately preserved. An earlier tape that I had luckily transcribed was destroyed. Some material is from an interview by Thomas Peterson for the Arizona Historical Society in Tucson. Some was written down as he told it when he was nearly 90. Some, a very little, is what I remembered his having told me at different times. And the orphan boy story was written for me when I was a little girl. Put together, it is an unusual and candid account of one man's life in early Arizona.
Chapter 1. Bisbee. Mother and Dad came to Tombstone in 1879, just a year after the camp opened up, but I wasn't born until June 30, 1886. I was born in a house on 4th Street, about half a block from where that shooting scrape with the Earps, McLowrys, and Billy Clanton took place. After Tombstone shut down, Dad went over to Bisbee. They'd discovered good copper deposits, and Bisbee was beginning to boom. Dad got a job in the mine, and Mother and I went to Bisbee in 1890, the 20th day of May, 1890. I was just a little less than 4 years old. My only brother, George, was a small baby when Mother racked up our belongings, hired a wagon, and drove us to Bisbee. I can remember her driving the team with George wrapped in a blanket on the seat between us. That was a long drive, over 20 miles, following a long canyon up to the divide near the top of the Mule Mountains, and then down the steep canyon on the other side into Bisbee. Dad had found us an old house right up on the brow of Quality Hill. Castle Rock was directly across the canyon. Tombstone Canyon runs down through the town of Bisbee. In fact, the main street follows the bottom of the canyon. The canyon makes a turn just below Castle Rock and runs nearly due west for a distance. There used to be a big spring of water down in the canyon at that bend, and there was a willow tree. At that time, there were only about 3 houses on the hill and the old Catholic church, which was a couple of hundred yards from where we lived. Dad went to work at 7 in the morning and worked until 6 in the evening with an hour for lunch. I don't suppose there were over 400 or 500 people in Bisbee then. There were only 2 mines working, the Old Queen, that is, the Queen Incline, and the Czar. They'd sunk the Czar and opened up ore. Christ almighty! There was a saloon at every other door down there. I think there were 6 or 8 or even more saloons right on that main street, and it wasn't a very long street at that time. There was a saloon up at the end of the street before the town put in a floodgate. A big wooden gate to stop the water from going down Main Street and to turn it down the gulch. That saloon toward the end, where the Frankenberry Newman store was located, was called the Palace. The Palace Saloon. It belonged to Pasquale and Ayers. They had women in the saloon, bar rustlers. These women lived in behind, across the gulch, in a big, long building. Old J.B. Angus owned Angus's store and was a family man. Angus brought suit against the women and against the Palace Saloon for having women in the saloon within 400 yards of the schoolhouse. The women and the bar owners were arrested and brought to trial. At that time, the men worked 10 hours in the mines, so they worked only 2 shifts. The sheriff went out on the street and picked up a bunch of miners off the street for a jury, and my dad was among them. They had a trial, and the jury turned the women loose. Every man who was on that jury and was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?